McMurphy stopped arguing when he saw he wasn't getting any place with the captain and turned around a couple of times, running his hand through his hair. "Which boat have we got rented?" "That's it there, the Lark. Not a man sets foot on her till I have a signed waiver clearing me. Not a man." "I don't intend to rent a boat so we can sit all day and watch it bob up and down at the dock," McMurphy said. "Don't you have a phone up there in your bait shack? Let's go get this cleared up." They thumped up the steps onto the level with the bait shop and went inside, leaving us clustered up by ourselves, with that bunch of loafers up there watching us and making comments and sniggering and goosing one another in the ribs. The wind was blowing the boats at their moorings, nuzzling them up against the wet rubber tires along the dock so they made a sound like they were laughing at us. The water was giggling under the boards, and the sign hanging over the door to the bait shack that read, "Seaman Service, Captain Block, Prop," was squeaking and scratching as the wind rocked it on rusty hooks. The mussels that clung to the pilings, 4 feet out of water marking the tide line, whistled and clicked in the sun. The wind had turned cold and mean, and Billy Bibbit took off his green coat and gave it to the girl, and she put it on over her thin little T-shirt. One of the loafers kept calling down, "Hey, Blondie, you like fruitcake kids like that?" The man's lips were kidney-colored, and he was purple under his eyes where the wind had mashed the veins to the surface. "Hey, you, Blondie," he called over and over in a high, tired voice. "Hey, you, Blondie! Hey, you, Blondie! Hey, you, Blondie!" We bunched up closer together against the wind. "Tell me, Blondie, what have they got you committed for?"
"Ah, she ain't committed, Purse. She's part of the cure."
"Is that right, Blondie? You hired as part of the cure? Hey, you, Blondie." She lifted her head and gave us a look that asked where was that hard-boiled bunch she'd seen and why weren't they saying something to defend her. Nobody would answer the look. All our hard-boiled strength had just walked up those steps with his arm around the shoulders of the bald-headed captain. She pulled the collar of the jacket high around her neck and hugged her elbows and strolled as far away from us down the dock as she could go. Nobody went after her. Billy Bibbit shivered in the cold and bit his lip. The guys at the bait shack whispered something else and whooped out laughing again.
"Ask her, Purse, go on."
"Hey, Blondie, did you get him to sign a waiver clearing you with proper authorities? Relatives could sue, they tell me, if one of the boys fell in and drowned while he was on board. Did you ever think of that? Maybe you'd better stay here with us, Blondie."
"Yeah, Blondie, my relatives wouldn't sue. I promise. Stay here with us fellas, Blondie."
I imagined I could feel my feet getting wet as the dock sank with shame into the bay. We weren't fit to be out here with people. I wished McMurphy would come back out and cuss these guys good and then drive us back where we belonged. The man with the kidney lips folded his knife and stood up and brushed the whittle shavings out of his lap. He started walking toward the steps.